Second Thessalonians again. And I am on election's divine justice. And I will make just a couple brief statements, and then I want to move on and get to the fact that election, divine election, I better make sure that's divine election, because elections are not just. Divine election is just. But let me make a couple statements. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it is clear. It's not a matter of debate. I'm not here trying to argue for this. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, we have it clearly stated. God is going to save some people, and God's going to damn some people. And in no way is it ever either one ever expressed as though God doesn't want to do this, but is forced to do this. You see, God didn't have to send these people a strong delusion. They already didn't believe the truth, did they? That's the whole point. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God could have just let them alone. Right? They still would have perished anyway. Right? If we believe the book, unbelievers perish, right? Only believers will be saved. They'd have perished anyway. But what's God do? God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Why? That they all might be damned. Exactly. Who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But there is a group of people, Paul says, God chose to save you. Isn't that what that says? That's not an interpretation. That's the problem nowadays, is most people are trying to interpret the Bible.
Exactly.
Now granted, there are some passages, and probably because of it being translated into our language, things get a little lost or jumbled. Or because we may not understand the actual etymology of certain words, you know, that the men used to actually pen these things. There may be certain passages that are hard for us to understand, but none of the Bible needs to be interpreted.
Exactly.
It is simply to be understood that these men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And they wrote in the everyday, is what is called the common Greek, at least the New Testament was. It was written in the everyday common language of the common man. Latin existed back then, but they didn't write it in Latin. They wrote it in the common Greek.
Yes, sir.
Now, this was not so that every man might understand, but so no one would be with excuse.
Exactly.
All men are, according to, it is declared by Scripture that all men are without excuse. And that's even if you don't have a Bible. You know that? Romans chapter 1, we read it quite clearly. Even if you don't know anything about God as revealed in the Scripture, all men are still without excuse.
Amen.
God says there's enough evidence in the creation itself to manifest His divine Godhead and His power so that all men are without excuse. Now, I'm here to say that don't sound fair. But that's the whole point.
Yeah.
It is fair because that's what God does.
Yes, sir.
And my brief review is this. God has revealed Himself as He is in the Scripture. And we need not attempt any method other than simply giving witness to the testimony of Scripture. We, that is, true believers. When I say we, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believers who have been born from above. And I'm trying to quit saying born again. Because it is truly born from above.
Yes, sir.
We, that is, true believers, should take great care against being caught up with the emotionalism of religion, which seeks to humanize God by its own intellectual reasoning and reduce God's justice to the level of human justice. You see, what we do, and I have to include myself, because apart from the book, that's what I do. And even more than that, apart from God's Spirit bowing me to the truth of the book, this is what I do as well. I think of what I feel to be fair in my own mind, and then I base God upon that standard.
Exactly.
And that's just not right.
Exactly.
It won't fit with the book. I mean, we even have rules now, and it's called, one of it's called the Geneva Convention. When two different countries, let's say, two different countries have declared war, and they are what we call legally at war, there are still rules we're supposed to go by. Right? Women and children, or what do they call it now? It's not innocence anymore. Well, it's not non-combatants either. There's another thing, another word they use that people get harmed. Do we not recall that in the Old Testament that when God on certain occasions told Israel to go into a certain group of people to wipe out everything,
exactly,
including the infants?
Yes, sir. Yep.
I mean, kill them, slaughter them. And after all, the Bible is a book about love, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
See, the Bible is a book about God.
Amen.
Who God is, not who we want God to be.
Exactly.
And I'm not standing here telling you this morning that I'm this great follower of the truth of God's Word. Because apart from God Almighty's Spirit, I would rebel against this truth more than I ever have in the past. I would do it today. Because there's a part of me that dislikes everything I read in this Word. And yet we must take great care to be caught up with that emotionalism. Because see, when it comes to the Scripture, emotionalism, not all emotion now, but emotionalism. You know what emotionalism is, don't you? It is a certain thing that is ruled by emotion. That's emotionalism. And sadly, most so-called Christianity today is ruled by emotionalism. That just doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. That's not fair.
Yeah.
By human standards, they're right. It's not what we call fairness. Human reasoning, well, think about this. Human reasoning says that partiality is unjust. Right? We, most of us, probably feel that way, right? Partiality is unjust. If I have, well, I'll get into that in a minute. Partiality is unjust. God tells us not to be partial. Because the problem is, why are we partial?
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Why are we partial? We pick and choose what we like best. And then we're partial to what we like best. And that which we dislike, maybe not even the worst, but we dislike it compared to what we like best. And we are then partial toward that or against that. Now think about it. Human reasoning says that partiality is unjust. Yet we practice partiality almost every day of our lives.
Exactly.
We give reasons for it. If not outright excusing it in ourselves, and then turn around and accuse somebody else of it.
That's it.
Just as an illustration, maybe not everyone's done this, but you know, when you have a gathering at your home, and you do invite some people you work with, who do you invite?
Yeah.
The people you dislike most? Do you invite the people that harmed you? Do you invite the people that, as you was climbing the ladder, doing your job, moving on up, and then they stepped on you and caused you not to get that promotion? Do we invite those people to our home, or do we invite the people we like the most to our home?
Exactly.
When we go on vacation, do we go down to the projects and go to vacation? Huh? You see, the point is, we are partial people.
Yes, sir.
We practice partiality every day of our lives. We'll be partial towards someone based upon whether we like them or we don't like them, and then turn around and point the finger at somebody else for doing the very same thing. But we deny God even the opportunity for it. God can't do that. Right? That's our rule, God. Huh? We'll do whatever we please. But God can't. Wait a minute. Isn't that opposite around? God said, Scripture says, God says through the prophet David, and he was prophesying, our God is in the heavens. He has done whatever he pleased. I have never done one thing that I ever come up with in my life. Because my steps are ordered of the Lord. If I am in rebellion against God, it is God himself who is giving me the life and the breath and allowing me to move in that thing. Because Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Now, I guess sadly for some people's opinions, I've been reading Martin Luther, The Bondage of the Human Will. Martin Luther gives us credit for nothing. I mean absolutely nothing. Let me tell you, he don't even give us credit for our sin. God just pleased to damn us for it. And people think I'm tough. That old Lutheran. That old ex-Catholic priest.
Exactly.
No, that's what we do. We recognize that partiality isn't fair, okay? Among men, we recognize it's not fair because we know why we're partial. Right? We know why we show partiality. So we find some kind of reason to make it, well, but you know, you just can't be any other way. You know, I used to meet people and the old phrase used to be, well, don't dislike somebody until you get to know them. Well, I basically figured for myself, I'm going to dislike anybody and everybody till I get to know them. Because I know what I'm like and I know what they're like. And until I find out if they're a little bit better than me, then I got no reason to like them. I'm a very unlikable person most of the time. And when I am likable, it's probably because I'm putting on a front. You ever felt that way about yourself? No, ain't nobody felt that way about themselves here, have you? Somebody said, well, you're being silly. No, I'm telling you the truth. Most of the people I deal with on an everyday basis like me because I don't say what I really think.
Exactly. That's it.
I have to keep my mouth shut, else I would be in constant warfare. I don't even like myself. Why should I like them?
Exactly. That's it.
Somebody says, boy, you're pretty depraved. Now you're getting it.
Yeah.
Now you're getting it. Myself and a few others have talked in detail lately. You know, there are people who think when somebody like me or Joe or like Earl stood up here and we preach about we're sinners and we're corrupt, we're not just saying words. We're not talking theory. We mean this.
Yeah.
We know this to be true.
Yeah.
Not as God Almighty knows it, of course, but we know this to be true. We know, well, I can relate to the Apostle Paul when he says, oh, wretched man that I am. When I would do good, anytime.
Exactly.
Every time I want to do good, what's wrong? Evil's present with me.
Amen.
All the time.
That's it.
And most of the time, when I would do good, I don't.
Exactly.
And I happen to know by God's word, if I ever do good, it's because God, before the world began, ordained that I would.
Amen.
That's the only reason I've done the good. It says even our works were what created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's not a general ordination. I just want them to walk in good works. Because it's God. How do I know that? Because it's God that works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I don't even have the will to do it. Amen. Unless it's, when Paul said the will's present with me, where'd that come from?
Exactly.
Men call it free will. No, God says it's me giving it to you.
Exactly. That's right.
It ain't free will, it's a given will.
Amen.
Somebody says, I don't agree with you. Well, you're wrong. Yep. You're just wrong.
That's it.
I had a fellow the other day who was asking me all kinds of, why don't the Jehovah's Witness see? Why are they wrong? I said, because they're blinded.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I told him the same thing. He still didn't get it.
Yeah.
You're blinded too. But he still didn't get it. And sometimes we are so blind, me included, sometimes we're so blind that somebody just has to come right out and insult us for us to see it. You know what I mean? They have to come right out and do it in an insulting way. We are so depraved, they got to tell us how depraved we are.
Exactly.
And then it dawns on us, but only for a moment.
Yeah.
Only for a moment. Think about it. God the Almighty, think about this, distributes His blessings most partially.
Yes, sir.
Now this is not only does the Scripture prove this, but reality proves this. Who would dare, and I'm going to be a little insulting this morning. I know that's new for me, but I will be. Who would dare be so ignorant as to contend that God distributes all health, strength, social status, mental capacity, life's comforts, and life's joys, and life's pleasures evenly? Let me tell you something. There's a truth to, but there's also a fallacy to that statement we have in our Constitution that all men are created equal.
That's true.
There is a sense in which that is true.
Yeah.
We are created equal because we all fell in Adam.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. We don't come into this world equal. Why does God do that? Why is it that some people suffer such ill health? Why is it that some people suffer mental incapacity while others seem to be not bothered at all by the life around them? Why is that? Because God Almighty is pleased to make it that way.
Amen.
See, God don't even distribute the opposites of these things. But I've given us what we think, health, strength, social status, mental capacity, life's comforts, life's joys, life's pleasures. Those are not distributed evenly, but the opposite of those are not either. There are times when I have experienced some of those things in what we think of as positive ways, and I know I don't deserve it. And I don't know how to say it other than just give an actual example, and I'll use myself. If you've seen my grades, the grades that I made when I was in school, I ought not have the job I got today. You wouldn't have hired me to do what I'm doing. And while I may not be getting in particular your tax dollars, I am getting somebody's tax dollars. You know how I got that job? God Almighty gave it to me.
That's right.
Exactly.
Amen.
That's it.
Now somebody else said, I went to college and I studied and I earned my job. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God could have just took that breath away from you and you'd have had nothing.
Exactly.
He could put you in a car accident and if not outright kill you, make you a quadriplegic to where you'd have to suck your food through a straw. And you know what? He'd be right if he did it.
Yes, sir.
If he did it to me, if he did it to you. Even those blessed with the measure of faith, right? The measure of faith. Even those blessed with the measure of faith do not have faith, nor is companion graces distributed to them evenly. Turn to it, Romans chapter 12. And Paul's quite clear with this. I'm talking about fairness. Justice. That's the more legal word, justice.
Yeah.
But fairness. Let's begin in the first. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then it just doesn't say which is, it just says your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And let me just stop a minute. Have you ever heard these people say, we don't live and we don't dress like the world dresses? Come on now. Quit. Stop. I wear the same kind of clothes the world does. Now, we're not talking about people who try to... It doesn't matter. That's not the point. These preachers are trying to tell us that we have to look different than everybody else. Let me tell you something. You look just the same as everybody else. And in some cases, some of us look worse than everybody else. You can take that any way you want. Some of us are not as pleasant to look upon as others are. It says, be not conformed to this world. How's the first? What does it say? But be ye transformed by what you wear. But be ye transformed by what you say. But be ye transformed by what you do. That's what they preach, don't they?
Yes, sir.
What does he say? Now, true, here is the negative. Don't be conformed to this world. How does that have to begin? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You better start thinking differently. Because you can act differently and you may be different than the world, but if you think like the world, you're still the world. But you might look like the world and in many cases act like the world, but if you think different from the world, then you're not the world. That's where Paul puts it at. For I say, it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now right there is harder than the first part.
Exactly.
Because there's some people I don't want to be like.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I look at certain parts of the world and it's easy for me not to be conformed to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
There's always somebody worse than you are. In your own opinion. Right? In your own opinion. But here it says, don't even think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, do we believe this means God has given everyone faith? Everyone without exception. Anyone that answers in the affirmative then believes in universalism. It does mean every man, but who every man? Every man that's among you.
Exactly.
Every man that is seeking not to conform himself to this world, but trying to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Those people.
Yes, sir.
God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of the other, of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, what? According to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. You see, the point is, I ought not be judging who I am and where I should be by anybody else.
Exactly.
Well, I wish I was more like so-and-so. You ever felt that way? Feel your... To taste the depravity of your heart and soul so much that you wished you was like another human being? I've felt that bad before. The problem is, when we get to know that other human being a little more, we find out they're probably in the same ship we are. They were wishing they could be more like us. You know? The whole point is, we are to be exactly like God Almighty gave us to be.
Amen.
what was it? This one, or ministry. You know, it don't mean what I'm doing. It's not what he's talking about. Ministry means to serve, to minister. To those who serve, let us wait on our ministry. See, what if people, they don't wait on it. They got to go out and do it. They don't wait for the opportunity to serve to come along. They go out and make opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, on Wednesday night visit. Well, no, you're supposed to be in church on Wednesday night. But we did do it after service.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you miss Wednesday night service if you're soul winning? How does that rule apply? I don't know. Probably not Sunday, though. Because Sunday's not just class time, it's preaching time. I don't know. I never asked that question before. Now I'm scared. I may have committed more sin than I thought I did back younger. It's getting worse and worse. Where was I at? I got off on a rabbit track. In other words, look at this passage. Are we all the same?
Exactly.
No. Not even in the body of Christ. Now we're all one body.
Sir.
We're members one of another.
Yes, sir.
We're all vital.
Yes.
Seeing that God has chosen for it to be this way, right? We're all important to one another. But none of us are self-important.
Exactly.
Don't think of yourself as self-important. Isn't it what he says?
Yeah.
Don't exactly. Think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I'm just another member of the body. But every member is important. Right? But that's the whole point. Is everything evenly distributed? Is that what this says? No. No. But here's another one. 1 Corinthians, there's more detail here. Paul is talking here much along the same line. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led.
Yeah.
There's a real good resume.
Yeah.
Man. You folks sure sought after the Lord. What did he say? You were a bunch of idolaters.
Exactly.
And when Paul came to this city, you know what? God, he was ready to leave. He got scared.
Yes, sir.
And God Almighty, in a vision, told him, don't you leave. I have much people in this city.
Amen.
Somebody said, I bet you see election even in that verse. You bet your money on that one. You bet right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's talking about. I got a people in this city. You stay right here. And he stayed there 18 months.
Yes, sir.
18 months. Wherefore, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You remember I told you what Finney said, don't you? That if he went to heaven, and once he got to heaven, if God Almighty himself told him, well, I picked out certain people and other people I did not, I'd tell God he was wrong. That man's a blasphemer. That's blasphemy. If God Almighty tells you something, you best bow down to it.
Amen.
He admitted what he really was.
Yeah.
And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, I believe that's true. Even a reprobate won't apart from the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. That's true.
Now there are diversities of gifts. That's what we already read, right? Paul told the Romans that. The different gifts. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So in other words, when it comes right down to it, I am not lacking anything. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers or different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. And then right here it is. Dividing to every man severally. You know what that means? That doesn't mean two or three to each one. That's not what that's talking about. We ain't talking about several. It's severally. Individually. Dividing to every man individually, how? As he will.
Amen.
You see, I'm not standing here in this place this morning because I'm better than you. It ain't got nothing to do with that. A part of me wonders why I am standing here before you this morning. More than you may know. You are exactly where you are if you're in the body of Christ. You are exactly where you are at this moment in time, whether you're standing or whether you've fallen.
Yeah.
You are where you are because God Almighty willed it so.
Yeah. It
may be to honor Himself through having you stand for the truth, or it may be for Him to honor Himself in you falling flat on your face and then realizing you have no hope but Him. But nevertheless, let me read again. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man individually, severally, as He will. You see, there is nothing in this world that is distributed evenly. And I hope, I don't think I'll upset really anyone here, but you know, the church kind of tried that one time.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't hear a whole lot more about it after that first attempt.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Jerusalem still had to have money or goods, whatever it was, poured into the church because they were suffering so much. Look at what Paul says to Corinth. We need money. We need gifts for the people of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You see, this world in its present state has nothing to do with evenness.
Exactly.
Nothing whatsoever. And the truth of Scripture is this. My time's almost gone already. The purpose of God's saving grace is no different.
That's right.
It's no different when it comes to Jews. We'll be turning to Romans chapter 9. It's no different when it comes to Jews. Now you know what's amazing to me is the group of people that I used to be a part of seem to have no problem with this part.
Yeah. That's it.
Really. They seem to have no problem with God Almighty dealing with those Jews how He wanted to. They even taught me when I was in Sunday school that there was a time to come when God had already chosen certain Jews who's going to be saved.
Yes, sir. That's true.
And I thought, what? But that's what they taught me. Now, you know what? That's true.
Yes, sir.
That's true. But the fact is, God has always saved only the Jews He wanted to save. He's always done, since there's been the first one. And He saved the first one. But He ain't saved all of the rest of them.
Exactly.
And there's a reason why. Given in Scripture. Romans chapter 9. Verse 27. We'll begin there. Esaias, that is Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved.
Amen.
Think of what does it say? Modern day language. Though there's a multitude of them, only a handful is going to make it.
Exactly. That's it.
But notice what it says. It don't say and only a remnant shall get saved. The language here is not a matter of only a remnant's going to be fortunate enough to somehow lay hold on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Only a remnant's going to be given it. It's only going to be given to a small percentage compared to the whole.
Exactly.
Now, I want to know why.
Yeah.
Don't you? Our minds ask that question, right?
Yeah.
We're given an answer. Four! What's that? That means here comes an answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Four, He will finish the work. Now, look at what it says. He will finish the work. And cut it short in righteousness.
Amen.
because a short work will the Lord make on the earth.
Amen.
Now think of these things. We're not talking about finish the work as short in a matter of duration of time. Time will exist as long as it's supposed to exist. He's talking about numbers.
Yeah.
Sand of the sea compared to what? A remnant.
Yeah.
Why? Because God Almighty purposed to do it that way. That's what that says.
Yes, sir.
For he will finish the work and cut it short, but not just cut it short, he'll do it in righteousness. Because a short work's what the Lord's going to do.
Exactly.
Because a short work will the Lord make on the earth. Well, that's right. Them old Jews deserve that anyway. Right? That's almost the attitude I got from my Sunday school teachers.
Oh, yeah.
But now us Gentiles, God loves us. He loves us all. Well, he loved all them Jews too, but we know how bad they were. They crucified Jesus. Now, don't you think I'm kidding you? You think they don't teach that kind of stuff in Sunday school?
Exactly.
They paint it on railroad trestles, and me and Joe goes and paints it out.
That's it.
I don't know why, but we did. I know why they do it. I don't know why me and Joe did what we did, but Joe must have talked me into it. But you know, it's them old dirty Jews. No, I probably talked him into it. You know what? You know what they say about us Gentiles, don't you? Acts chapter, 15, I think it is. James mentions it. Acts 15, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered and said, "Men and brethren, listen to me." Right? What is it? "Hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first to visit the Gentiles to what?"
Yeah.
"To what?" "To take out of them a people for his name."
Amen.
And this is exactly what the prophet said would take place.
Exactly. Amen.
I didn't have to interpret that. "And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written," and he quotes the passage.
Yes, sir.
You see, you don't have to interpret that. You know what the hard part is of that? Bow down to it.
Exactly.
That's the hard part. No, that's the impossible part. Apart from grace.
Amen.
Well, I know the first time I ever heard this, and I mean it actually started, I don't know that's the first time I ever heard it mentioned, but the first time it really began to dawn on me that somebody was actually saying those words, I thought to myself, I will never believe that. Mm-mm. I will never believe that. And I meant it. I preached against it. And look where I'm standing now and what I'm doing. God can make you eat your words. Or God may let you live with your words and then send you strong delusion.
Exactly.
Somebody says, "Well, but that puts too much of it in God's hands." I know, we don't like that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, if once God begins to show you what you really are, you'll be glad for it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you will. You know, I've been reading Martin Luther. Now, not Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther.
Yeah.
And yes, Martin Luther continued to hold a lot of error. A lot of things were wrong. But let me tell you something. I believe that man knew the Christ of God.
Yes, sir.
But as I've been reading that book and comparing it to what the Scripture says,
yeah,
I come to realize, and listen to me, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. For me, choice is an illusion.
Exactly.
That is, that I actually choose certain things, and it happens, or it's done, because I chose for it to be done. Because the more I find out, the more I choose, I want something a certain way,
yeah,
it don't happen that way.
Exactly. That's it.
And usually, when I get my way,
yeah,
put that in quotes, I find out it's a blessed disaster.
Yes,
But I meant what I said. A blessed disaster. Because all things work together for good, not to them who know it. And he says, I know, but that's not, he didn't say all things work together for good to them that know it. All things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Because we usually don't know it. At the time, we don't. It takes it happening and some time going by, and then we look back and say, you know, that worked out for my good.
Exactly.
You know? Well, let me tell you something. I could go back through some of the things that happened to me, and I'd tell you that was not good. There is no way I'll come out of that unscathed. And I was right. I was scathed. And God meant to scathe me.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Yes, sir.
And I do appreciate what Ralph Dell said. This fact that if you're one of God's, He will chasten you. And don't be of this mind. Don't get this out of your head. Well, I'm going to live good enough so God don't have to chasten me. Well, that's about the time the hammer's going to fall. Because Job, it says, Job was a man, he was honorable. He avoided, he eschewed evil. He even offered sacrifice for his kids down there having a party just in case they sinned. He didn't know for sure if they would or not, but just in case, he was offering sacrifice for him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And you know what? God put that man through the ringer.
Yes, sir.
There was no specific sin in Job's life. God said, all right, I got to get him now. Got to straighten him out. You see, the point is, we always need straightening out.
Exactly.
There's never a time in our life we don't need straightening out.
Exactly.
Because we're so blessed crooked.
That's it.
And I'll just end it with that. Father, I pray that You draw our hearts and minds, our affections, our will, all to Christ. These things are, as others have said, they are hard sayings. But Lord, may we be enabled, as our brother Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I thank You in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.